Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdata min lisani yafqahu qawli, ameen. I'd like to welcome everyone back to our daily du'as from the Quran series. Again, just to start off, this series is made possible by the support of Penny Appeal USA. It's brought to you by Penny Appeal USA. Since 2016, Penny Appeal has been committed to fighting poverty and need. They have provided aid in the midst of emergencies. They've supported orphans, provided warm meals, helped give medical assistance, and provided clean water to families across Asia, the Middle East, Africa, and right here at home. Since then, Penny Appeal USA has helped over a million people and empowered communities around the world, helping to break the cycle of poverty and build brighter futures. This Ramadan, they will continue this effort with the support of people like you to join their You Are the Difference Ramadan campaign and change a life. Please visit pausa.org/qalam. Again, that's pausa.org/qalam. Please do visit their website, learn more about the great work that they're doing, and consider supporting them if you can financially. If not, mashallah, there's so many organizations doing so much beautiful work, Penny Appeal being one of them. And please make dua for them and the people that are, working day in and day out to do this kind of beautiful work. Inshallah, today we're going to be looking at a dua from the end of Surah Ali Imran. It's a very interesting dua because we learn quite a few things, or some, again, more interesting perspectives about dua. That was kind of the intent behind the series, is that hopefully, by looking at the different du'as in the Quran, we're learning that du'a is more than just asking for something, but we're learning about times of du'a, how to make du'a, we're learning about the template of a du'a. So inshallah, we're going to learn a few more interesting things about du'a, inshallah, through this. It's a longer passage. We'll start off from the beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in ayah number 190, إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alteration of the night of the day and night, there are signs for people of reason. This is a very interesting thing. I'm going to point out two things, two key words to kind of pay attention to. Number one is the word ayat. We've probably heard this word many times. An ayah is a sign. Sometimes it also refers to a verse of the Quran, but here it's being used as in the meaning of sign. When you think about a sign is something that you look at. It's a mark or some kind of indicator that you look at that reminds you of something else. And a perfect example of this is a stop sign, right? When you look at a stop sign, you don't just marvel at the sign, but you look at that specific shape and that specific color with those specific letters on it, and you're reminded of an action that you are meant to take there, which is to stop, right? So that's what a sign does. It reminds you of something. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that the creation of the heavens and the earth and the changing of the night and day that we see around us, all of these things are signs. Now, what are they supposed to remind us of? And again, ultimately, we know that the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is meant to remind us of the Creator, is meant to remind us of Allah, right? So if we are going to fall into this group of people, now the second word to focus on in this ayah is the last one, is ulil albab, which here is translated as people of understanding. Other translations would be people of high intellect, their ability to reason, very intelligent. And then we're going to learn now in the following ayat what makes these people intelligent, what makes them fall into this category, right? So again, the first thing to keep in mind, and this is what, you know, the rest of this is going to kind of hinge on this, the rest of the discussion, is the concept of an ayah, a sign that is reminding us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason I mention this is because sometimes, especially, you know, you might see the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you might appreciate it and you might be wowed by it. And you might just stop at looking at it and saying, wow, that's beautiful, right? And appreciating it at a superficial level. But what believers do, or what people of high intellect do, is that they see the beauty of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they don't just stop at marveling at the sign, but they are reminded of the Creator. They think beyond just what they're looking at, and they think about the one who created all of it. It's, again, going back to the stop sign analogy, it's like if you saw a stop sign, and instead of stopping, you just started marveling at the colors and the shape and the letters, and you're like, it's so cool. It would defeat the purpose of the sign, right? So similarly, what we're being taught as believers is that as we engage with the signs of Allah around us, the creation of Allah around us, or even think about, you know, the signs that we have in the Quran. The Quran is filled with ayat, right, and reminders. All of these, the reminders are not just meant to be cool or fun to listen to, but we have to connect with Allah as a result of these reminders and a result of reflecting over these ayat. And that's what these people do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to tell us about these people. And again, another one of my favorite words in the Quran, a very common word, which you'll see here at the beginning of the next ayah, is al-ladhina. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a group of people, he often follows in the next ayah with the word al-ladhina, which translates as those who, or those are, dot, dot, dot. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about to tell us about ulil albab, tell us who are these people of reasoning or high intellect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about them. He says, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Those people, the people of high intellect, are the ones who remember Allah while standing, sitting, and lying on their sides. So that's the first thing. I'm going to kind of break it down. The first thing these people do is that they remember Allah, right? Before you can ever reflect on the signs of Allah, you have to have some remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's kind of like the most basic requirement. If you're not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there's no dhikrullah, then there can't be reflection. There can't be other deeper understandings or contemplation or reflection, because in the absence of the remembrance of Allah, everything else kind of loses its value, right? Imagine someone who's not Muslim and is studying the Quran and analyzing it and looking at everything, but there's no remembrance of Allah in there. It loses all of its value and it loses that connection that you're meant to have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing that these people do is that they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every single position, right? Standing, sitting, or lying on your side. And that covers pretty much any position a human being might be in. Then after remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what they do with that remembrance is وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. They reflect on the creation of the heavens and the earth. So after remembrance of Allah, then there's reflection, there's pondering, there's thinking about this. Again, it's going beyond just the superficial, beyond just saying, wow, that, you know, sunset was amazing. It's so beautiful, Allah made it. But they think beyond that. They keep reflecting and pondering, and they come to certain conclusions. And what's beautiful about this passage is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't tell us what their conclusions are, but we learn the conclusions of these people through the dua that they make after this reflection. Okay, so these people, they remembered Allah, they reflect on the creation of the heavens and the earth, and then they make a dua. So we're going to learn about what did they gain, or what did they learn from that reflection? And they say, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. They say, our Lord, there's no way, you did not create all of this without purpose. You didn't create all of this for nothing, right? When you look at the creation of the world around you, it reminds us that everything was created with a divine purpose. Everything has a purpose. Our creation has a purpose. If the creation of the heavens and the earth around us has a purpose, if the plants have a purpose in the ecosystem that we live in, we also have a purpose for which we were created. And as the Quran tells us, our ultimate purpose and objective is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And that's a lot to unpack, but if that's missing, if that relationship of abd and rab, of the slave and the master, is missing, then we're going to be missing a piece of the purpose of our creation. So when you look at the world around you, you're reminded that I'm also here for a reason, right? And that this dunya is not permanent. You're also reminded of the reality that this dunya is transient. And again, everyone agrees on the reality that this life is limited. No one will argue that it's not, right? Everyone accepts the reality of death. There isn't anyone who will fight that, right? As believers, we're reminded of this when we reflect. And we're seeing this group of people, when they reflect on the creation, then they profess and they proclaim and they declare that, oh Allah, you have not created all of this without purpose. Subhanak, glory be to you. And then they make their first request, their first dua. They say, فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. They say, oh Allah, protect us from the torment of the fire. And this is very interesting because we're seeing their thought progression. They're going from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reflecting over the creation around them. That's got them thinking about the nature of this life, their role in this life, and that there will be a hereafter when all accounts will be settled. And in the hereafter, there will be the outcome of hellfire, or there will be outcome of paradise. So they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they say, oh Allah, protect us from the torment of the fire. Right? So we're seeing kind of this thought process, this evolution. What happens when you truly sit and reflect over the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then they continue and they say, رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. Say, our Lord, indeed, those who you commit to the fire, or those who you allow to enter the fire, will be completely disgraced. They are completely disgraced. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. And the wrongdoers will have no helpers. Again, further elaborating, right? After asking for protection from the fire from hellfire, they then also, again, there's a lot of declarations in this dua. There's a few requests, but then there's a lot of declarations and announcements. It's almost like affirmations that they're reminding themselves of. The first one was, you didn't create all of this without reason, O Allah. Another one we're seeing now after the mention of hellfire is that, O Allah, whoever you enter into the hellfire, you've disgraced that person. That person is lost. And there's no one coming to help the wrongdoers or the oppressors on that day. Right? Again, it's not dua as we normally think about it, right? It's not an ask. Instead, there's a lot of affirmations and reminders in this dua. And then they continue and they say, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. Then say, our Lord, we have heard the caller calling us to faith and telling us to believe in your Lord, and we believed. Again, more affirmations, more declarations that, oh Allah, there was a messenger that came. He invited us to believe in our Lord, and oh Allah, we believe. Right? Again, still no ask yet. And then continues the asking and the dua, the actual dua part. And they say, رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. They say, our Lord, forgive us our sins and absolve us of our misdeeds, and allow us to die as one of the virtuous. This is a theme we see in many du'as, where believers are asking not only for forgiveness and, you know, pardoning of shortcomings, but they are also asking for death amongst the righteous, or dying in a state of righteousness and belief. And there's a very powerful reality being communicated there, and that is that guidance isn't guaranteed. That just because we're guided right now, just because we're feeling something right now, we cannot get complacent and comfortable, or we cannot start thinking that we deserve it, right? Ultimately, this is a reminder that guidance is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have it now, and we keep praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have it later, and we have it towards the end of our life so that we can die in a state of belief as well. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us all to die in a state of belief and submission to Him. And then they continue and they say one last thing, the final ask. رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَىٰ رُسُلِكَ وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. Then they say, our Lord, grant us what you have promised us through your messengers, and do not put us to shame on the day of judgment, for certainly you never fail in your promise. Again here, the request, now they're asking for, they're saying, oh Allah, your messengers, they came with so many promises. Right, as we read the Quran, we see so many things promised to believers, promised to people of taqwa, promised to those who are successful. And this dua is so interesting because it's so broad, right? It's saying, oh Allah, give us whatever you promised by means of your messengers. Whatever your messenger said, give us that. And at the same time, oh Allah, don't disgrace us on the day of judgment. Right, part of seeking forgiveness and seeking Allah's mercy is seeking from Allah that He does not expose us on the day of judgment, that He does not disgrace us on the day of judgment. And then the conclusion of the dua is إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيْعَادِ. Oh Allah, you never fail in your promise, or you never back down from your promise. You always fulfill your promise. So again, we're learning so many principles here. One of the things, just to summarize, the next ayah is also very beautiful. If you have time, you can go, you know, Quran.com/3/195. It's a response to their dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to their dua and grants them, gives them the glad tidings of Jannah. But a few lessons that we can kind of take away from this dua. Number one is that as part of our dua, we're learning that we can declare and announce certain things. We can make affirmations in our dua, right? We see that most of the dua that we read today, there were affirmations of, oh Allah, you didn't create everything for nothing. Like there's all of creation has a purpose. Oh Allah, whoever you enter into the hellfire, that person is disgraced. And no one's coming to help the wrongdoers. Oh Allah, you never turn back on your promise. Oh Allah, we heard a messenger calling to belief and we believed, oh Allah. So you see there's so many affirmations and there's a few requests in between. And we see that, you know, dua is very dynamic. It's not just, I'm going to ask for these 10 things, right? But how we ask for it, how we engage, how we communicate with Allah, it really matters, right? And that's kind of the hope through this series, is that as we examine different du'as in the Quran, we also pray that we evolve in how we make du'a. And as we grow in our du'a, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to grow in our relationship and connection with Him. Again, Jazakallah khair for joining us today for our du'as from the Quran series. We'll be back here tomorrow, same time, inshallah, covering more du'as from the Quran. This series is brought to you by Penny Appeal USA. If you want to learn more about the work that they're doing, please visit pausa.org/qadam. And again, first step would be educate yourself about what they're doing. And then if you feel inspired, then please go ahead and support them in whatever way you can. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.